Good evening. Welcome to the Alfred Hitchcock Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Brandon Shematella, and joining me is my friend, Chris Haig. How's it going, Chris?
It is going really well, thanks.
Excellent, right on. And also is Tom Caldwell. Caldwell? How do we say that, Tom?
Caldwell. Yes. Thank you, sir, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
It is definitely a pleasure. We have been slowly working our way up to this, and we're all very excited to be starting this podcast right now. And I guess a little bit of history about us, I guess, should probably be the way that we start this.
Right on.
So, Tom, why don't you tell us a little bit about you. Tell us a little bit about Tom.
Well, you and I, Brandon, of course, live in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. I like to think of our podcast as a global endeavor because our friend Chris here is live from Leeds. I've been waiting to say that all week. Yeah. And he's our foreign correspondent, our man in Britain. So as a local Regina kid, I actually grew up in Saskatoon, which is the other major city in our fine province.
And Tom, you got to get at least another half a dozen Hitchcock movie references in your speech here. Okay? Yeah. You've got foreign correspondent.
You're turning into the man who knew too much, sir. anyway... I'm a film buff. I'm an arts major. I'm an English grad. I'm an old TV production guy, corporate communications guy, and PR certificate at University of Regina and all that. And I don't follow sports. I like music. I like bands. I like rock and roll and everything. But to me, it's all about theater and film and comedy and drama. That's sort of my passion, my hobby. And realistically, like, people talk about thrills of a lifetime. A guy, like a hockey fan, might talk about, I went to Montreal Forum, or I met Wayne Gretzky, or whatever. For me, I got into the Ed Sullivan Theater to see the Letterman show, a live taping, and to be in that building where all those people, all those artists, all those musicians have appeared on Ed Sullivan over the years and on Letterman over the years. Like, to me, that's what I'm all about. So film, to me, is a pretty big deal.
Excellent. Yeah. I love film as well. Chris, why don't you tell us about yourself? And don't worry, if you have any stage fright, I'll be sure to toss you a lifeboat and a life jacket.
Thank you. As I stare out of my rear window and consider your question.
Don't go all psycho on us.
Hey, careful. As I peel back my torn curtain, you know, perhaps I can see Rebecca across the way. Okay. we're gonna have to start getting like the deep cuts here to like make this work. My background is not in film whatsoever. I basically went to university or college as a psychology student. I'm doing my master's in psychology and neuroscience at the moment. But growing up, I grew up in a house full of like big film fans, and particularly 80s. My parents got married in the 80s, and it was that great sense of, you know, the action movie, the adventure movie, you know, Ghostbusters, Indiana Jones, that sort of thing. And so when I eventually became kind of old enough to explore the film for myself, it was a lot of fun, and it was brilliant and weird, and it's kind of how I got to know Hitchcock through that. And so I completely get what Tom's saying, you know, that kind of being in that immersive experience and being part of it, because I've been able to participate in like very small ways. I'm not saying I've got like a huge experience or anything, but I've been able to participate in kind of local film and local theatre a tiny bit. I can appreciate it, how difficult it is and how hard it is to actually produce a work of theatre or a work of film or a play or a book or anything kind of artistic. And so film for me is brilliant, it's beautiful, it's divisive, and it should be everything.
Film was very important for me growing up as well. We watched a lot of movies, and my mom introduced me to a lot of scary movies, probably at an age that was way too young. You know, like, I remember seeing Gremlins in a drive-in, and I was born in 1981, so I must have been like 3 or 4 when we went and saw that. And we saw the Goonies in the theater, and, you know, when they went down in the basement to see Sloth, holy smokes, that scared the pants off of me when I was a kid. And I remember we would watch, you know, the TV show Freddy's Nightmares on TV, and, you know, so scary movies and intensity, you know, always is something that I have loved. And I have people, I have friends who are like, I don't know how you can watch that stuff. And it's like, how can you not? You know, fear is such a powerful emotion. It's fun to be scared.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, so scary movies are what really started my interest in film. And, you know, so as a teenager, what I actually ended up discovering Hitchcock with was we had a trial sample. I lived in La Ronge, Saskatchewan, which is a very small town in the north.
That in itself would be quite scary.
It was not too bad. I mean, you know, it's a nice place. It's very, very beautiful there. But we had just regular cable there, and they had a trial run of I think it was the Sci-Fi Channel. It was the American Sci-Fi Channel, and they had all these movies on. And my first anything Hitchcock that I actually saw, I had heard about Psycho, but I'd never seen it. And they were actually airing Psycho 3 on TV. Right, so like the first thing that I ever saw was Psycho 3, and I was all excited to watch this movie, and the satellite feed that was feeding our village or whatever went out, so I missed like most of the movie. But I mean, the first I ever experienced was like the first 20 minutes of Psycho 3, and I was like, okay, I got to check some more of this stuff out. I've never actually gone back and finished Psycho 3, but that was my very first anything Hitchcock that I ever saw. So I think that's kind of a funny story to start with. So
yeah,
we about 2003, 2004, we were living in a town called Picture Butte outside of Lethbridge, Alberta. I was working at a TV station in Lethbridge, and my parents came for a visit. They were literally, you know, driving south for the winter, and there was a hockey strike. So good on ya. No hockey. I'm happy. Because CBC is playing movies. They have all this airtime to fill. And at midnight, we were all heading off to bed, and North by Northwest came on TV.
Oh.
And my mom and I are like, yeah, whatever, you know, oh, it's on TV. Oh, no, hang on, let's watch a little bit more. No, you know, it's already like 1:30, man, we're watching and watching, and we just got into it, and we couldn't turn off the TV, and it was so, like, that's the kind of experience that I love in film, but that's what Hitchcock does, too, is he draws you in, he won't let you go, you know, you gotta see what happens, and it's a powerful, powerful thing to experience. But you're right, you're talking about being scared by film. The purpose of any entertainment, or especially film, should be to create emotion in the viewer. That's what it gives to you. It gives you that experience, whether it's, you know, crying, sad, depressed, happy, joy, laughing, whatever. But to take someone and give them that fear response, that's very primal, it's very organic, and it's very powerful, and I think everybody enjoys it.
I thought it was funny, Brandon, when you mentioned your kind of experience, because mine was sort of similar. So basically, I had never really heard of Hitchcock growing up, because my dad and my brother hate scary films, and so they were never on when we were kind of like growing up or anything. My mum's really good with horror films, but it was always like, you know, majority doesn't want to watch it. And then when I was about 11, it was like the 50-year anniversary of Psycho, and I remember reading it in the newspaper, and it showed the black and white of the iconic shower scene, and I was like, oh, okay, what's this? And I was saying, oh, okay, it's a film called Psycho, alright. And I didn't really pick it up again until because back when I was a teenager, we had like kind of cable TV, and they had it subcategorized. We had like a film package, and it was subcategorized into like action movies, comedy, you know, new stuff, thrillers, classics, all that sort of thing. And then it was on the horror channel, and I made the cardinal sin, and I only saw the last 20 minutes of Psycho, because I was like, oh yeah, what's this film and everything. So it's pretty much from when, and I don't want to spoil it in case people haven't seen it, but it's when Sam and Lila first appear at the Bates Motel onwards until the end, and I was really intrigued, and I was like, oh okay, what's all this and all that sort of thing. And it was from then on that I was completely hooked, and I'd started doing my research into Hitchcock and everything, and it was I still remember the ending of Psycho kind of word by word because I rewatched it so many times and it had such a powerful impact on me. And I was like, oh, wow, this is amazing. This is...
You know how guys get into Star Wars, right? And we've all got that friend that you can't watch Star Wars with because he won't stop repeating the lines the whole time, like reciting the film. And it's like, okay, I know what happened. Like, shut up. But that's almost where you can watch Hitchcock over and over and over and enjoy it that way. And I think you really can find new things every time. Like a lot of films, I don't know why people buy DVDs. I've never been one to buy a movie. Because I saw the film. I don't need to see it again. Whatever. But Psycho, like all these Hitchcock films, are such canon pieces. Like, you can definitely own them, watch them, and enjoy them, and watch them over and over again.
So this podcast that we're going to be talking about the Hitchcock films, we're going to be going back. We're going to be going back to the very beginning, and we're going to be talking about Hitchcock, his silent films. We're going to go all the way through. And I wanted to watch some Hitchcock movies because it's actually been an extremely long time since I've seen some of these films. And I thought, hey, if I'm going to take the time and watch these movies, what better way to do it than do it a podcast while I do it? Hey, and you know, so the three of us together, we're not film majors. You know, I've been schooled a little bit in film. I've taken a few film classes in university, but that was a long time ago, you know, so I'm not a pro at this. We're going to come at it from an amateur perspective, and we're going to talk about the films and what we see. And, you know, so I'm going to start by telling everybody here, I'm going to tell you my favorite Hitchcock movie, and then I'm going to tell you my favorite Hitchcock moment, because it's actually not from the same movie. And the thing that makes me saddest about Hitchcock dying in the 70s is that he's not around to make movies now. Yeah. And the movie that had the biggest impact on me is Rope. That's my favorite Hitchcock film because of what he did with that movie and what he was trying to do. And there's a lot of people that critique that film because of how he had to hide the cuts to try and make it seem like one solid piece. But to me, what I see is an artist trying to push against the boundaries that he has, you know, push against the limitations that he has and trying to fight back. And he's only limited by his medium. You know, there are films now that are out there. I don't have the names in front of me right now, but there are films that, because we have digital recording technology now, they've actually gone and made films that are 90 minutes long and are one take, right? Because of inspirations of things like Hitchcock and stuff. So for me, that's my personal favorite Hitchcock film. But my personal favorite Hitchcock moment, if I remember correctly, I think it's in Marnie. And it's the scene when she had just robbed the safe. It's like early on in the movie. And she puts those shoes in her pocket. And she's walking along. And it's been so long since I've seen Marnie that, you know, I might be misremembering this. And that's part of what I'm looking forward to most about this podcast is rediscovering these films. But I think there's a cleaner there who's like sweeping. And she's trying to tiptoe and make sure she doesn't get seen. And these shoes are like falling out of her pocket slowly as she walks along. And I'm like, I was on the edge of my seat for that scene. So I love that scene a lot. I won't spoil how it ends because you better watch the movie when we get to that Marnie, right?
Yeah.
Chris, what's your favorite?
I was thinking while you were talking, I'm like, oh god, can I narrow it down? I mean, my favorite movie, and it's been one of my favorite all round films and definitely my favorite Hitchcock movie, is Rear Window. And I came to it a bit late, so it was a few years into when I'd started looking into Hitchcock and I'd watched it on the TV and everything. And I think it's, you know, when you were talking about Rope as this kind of exercise in where he can put the cuts and make everything look kind of fluid and continuous, I think he does something maybe not similar, but it is an exercise in Rear Window. He confines himself, he constricts, he keeps his protagonist in a singular space. He makes kind of a protagonist who's passive and active at the same time. He's actively seeking out the truth about whether Lars Thorwald killed his wife or not. But then equally, you've got him kind of trapped. You've got him caged. You know, even though he has allies in, you know, like Grace Kelly and Thelma Root and everything. And I think it's a brilliant exercise because for like the first half an hour, you know, you build up the characters and everything. And once the central mystery is introduced, you're not kind of made immediately aware that, oh yeah, no, this is... He's definitely you know, onto something here. It could easily be this, it could easily be that. And then once the little twist happens, you're like, oh yeah, no, this is real. This is happening. It's brilliant, and I think it's kind of the best, well, if not the best, but it's certainly one of the, you know, the masterclasses that Hitchcock has in slowly ramping up tension by tension by tension, and in the final kind of, I suppose, what's the word I'm thinking of? Kind of confrontation between Thorwald and Jeffreys. It's this, it involves basically like a flash bulb camera. And I think it's such a brilliant way because it's slowly just knocking the tension up with each passing second. And it's so rare to see that now. And it's so rare to see it in like, kind of not even just like horror films, but films in general. Films have no idea about tension anymore, have no idea how to make something properly scary. And this is only like a PG movie. There's no real blood or gore or anything in it. But for a film that you could easily like show to kids and have it be scary in a different way, I think is brilliant.
You're talking about favorite Hitchcock moment, and when you were talking about that, I'm hearing the moment in my life with Hitchcock. Sure, and you're, that's right. I didn't catch the reference to a moment within a Hitchcock piece. I'll get back to that in a second. But favorite film, I like Rope. Like, Rope is an amazing film. Mm. But just out of respect to Brandon having picked that one, I would have to talk about The Trouble with Harry. And it's a comedy. And it's funny.
Really?
And it's like a body in the ground and a body, like they just, this poor corpse, you know, like he's in and out of the grave so many times. And it's just a funny, funny movie. And if you ever had to try and introduce people to Hitchcock in a lowball and want to kind of like approach them gently, that would be the film to show to them because it is very approachable. And we talk about Psycho. I almost put Psycho like in its own room. You know, like it's there's all of Hitchcock's films and then there's Psycho. I don't even think it's fair to compare the, you know, Psycho as one of his pieces because it is such an amazing work. And of course it's generated how many sequel films and how many
not enough.
The television series and everything, right? We could literally do an entire series of podcasts just on Psycho alone. don't get that idea, Brandon.
Too late.
But, and like, if I had to talk about again the favorite Hitchcock moment for me personally, the last 5 or 6 years, my wife and I at our house have hosted a little Hitchcock festival every winter. Originally, it was a Halloween weekend thing, and now it's kind of whenever we get around to it. But we have a bunch of people over, and we watch 4 or 5 films on a Saturday. And the first year we did this, my wife Jeanette and I were driving home from work in the afternoon. And she's like, okay, Tom, you go ahead and use the house and have your friends over and have your little film party. And don't mind me. I'll stay out of the way. I'll go to the bedroom or I'll go shopping and you can use the house and have your little party. And I'm like, well, thank you very much. I do pay half the rent. By Sunday morning, she was like, that was so good. Can we watch another one? Like, she was hooked on the films, and and on Sunday, we ended up watching a few more films together, and she was right into it. Now, her perspective is, her television is CSI and The Good Wife and Suits, about the young man with the fake law degree, and all these sort of police dramas. That's what she likes. So she likes The Cloak and Dagger. She likes the detective mysteries. And when she got watching the Hitchcock stuff with me, she fell right into it. And I love the fact that I was able to bring her into this world. So to me, that's kind of my favorite Hitchcock moment in a personal realm.
Nice. I like that story.
Oh, that's so nice.
Aw.
Was there a favorite Hitchcock moment that you had, like, in a film?
Well, again, like, you know, getting ready for the podcast, last night I watched Rear Window, and not so much of a moment in the film itself, but that whole idea of the man in the wheelchair with the binoculars, and he's watching that living advent calendar, which is the courtyard across the way, and I just love that man looking out on the world sort of concept. there was a couple of lines in the movie that kind of, oh yeah, that was funny or that was a good moment. But I just like that whole feel of that film, and just that, you know, who hasn't had that thing where they're homesick for 3 days from work, right? And they're like, well, I'm going to take advantage of this time and do something different. You know, and that's what he did when he was laid up with his bad leg, was he found something different to do, and it proved to be very entertaining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one thing that's really neat about Hitchcock. I'm really surprised that you said that you love The Trouble with Harry so much, because his comedies are the films that kind of get overshadowed because he was such a master of suspense. So I am looking forward to watching the comedies again with a little bit more of a critique, a little bit more of a critical eye, because I don't really like his comedy movies. I don't think his comedy movies hold a candle to the rest of his films. So it's going to be interesting to go back through those and watch them to put a little bit more of a study on them. So I think that's fascinating that you really like The Trouble with Harry. That's great.
Yeah, and I think, like, being able to have our little film festivals and have all these Hitchcock movies and have our friends over to watch them has been very valuable. And a lot of my buddies, too, are like, hey, that was a good time. Like, we wouldn't have watched those films otherwise. Like, why not grab a hold of a list of titles and just celebrate them and enjoy them? It's so easy to get people interested with such a well-known list of movies, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So what do you guys want to gain out of this podcast? What are you hoping that we cover when we do this podcast?
Well, personally, I'm looking forward to it because it'll be interesting to make, in a sense, make myself watch the films over again with a different eye, and to learn. There's so much to learn, and to just be able to share that with our listeners, all dozen of them, and all our family members. Shout out to my nephew.
It's going to be like 3 or 4. I mean, don't hold your expectations too high. I mean, a dozen people, that's a lot of people there, Tom.
Yeah. All 4 of my nephews are going to be online. But, no, it'll be good. And, you know, in a personal thing, we all go to work our 40 hours a week or whatever, and this will be a fun hobby, a fun thing to do on the side, and just a fun recreational piece. And to, I'm really hoping that we do get feedback from listeners and input from listeners, and maybe the odd email suggesting that we do stuff differently, or the, you know, what are people's ideas? What do they want us to talk about? What are their opinions? If they didn't like something that one of us said, what would they say differently? You know, what are their favorite films? I know, Brandon, you've got a lot of your podcast buddies are going to have input and make some special appearances and give us their opinion. And I think the more the merrier. And I'm just really looking forward to exploring this amazing collection of film.
I mean, in a similar sense, because I, whether deliberately or not, I have not actually seen a massive, huge amount of Hitchcock movies in the whole, oh, I've not really checked out his earlier stuff. I have, you know, investigated some more, you know, older pieces, that sort of thing. So I'm looking forward to actually getting to experience them firsthand. And to, you know, like you said, it's a great opportunity, and it's kind of like, oh yeah, I've got to sit down and watch this. And it's like, no, I'm getting to watch, you know, one of the best directors that there's ever been have fun or create a piece of art or that sort of thing. And it's also, I think it'll be a great opportunity to kind of explore him critically, because, you know, we've spent a bit of time talking about, you know, our personal, you know, investment in, you know, certain films or certain moments and that sort of thing. And so it'll be great to look at it through a different lens, to look at it kind of through a different perspective, and equally, you know, being able to talk to you guys, and, you know, hopefully we'll get feedback from listeners, be able to see stuff that we didn't see, you know, the first time around, second time around, or, you know, new ideas, theories, all that sort of thing. I live for that kind of stuff. So if there's anyone out there who just goes, oh yeah, have you never noticed this in Rear Window, or I have a theory about, you know, this particular character in Psycho or Rope, or, you know, whatever the case may be, that is fantastic. That is brilliant. That is what I'm excited for.
This sounds a lot of fun. For me, I'm looking forward to some of the tangents that we're going to take along the way. I'm hoping you guys are in it with me here for the long haul. But I mean, I'm going to want to read some of the books as we go along, right? And, you know, Tom, honestly, I really want to do a deep dive into Psycho. When we get to Psycho, I want to cover the novel. I want to cover the four films. I want to cover the remake. And I want to cover Bates Motel. You know, when we get to Strangers on a Train, I want to cover Throw Mama from the Train. Yeah. You know, things like that. And I want to see how he influenced other people, you know. I'd like to, when we get to the end of Hitchcock's career, I'd like to take a look at the movie Sisters, which was directed by Brian De Palma, and it's heavily influenced by Hitchcock and his work. So a couple things that I'd like to try and do is, if some of his work is based on a short story, I'd like to read that short story as a bonus episode, you know, just something special for the listeners out there. You know, if... For the listeners that are listening out there right now, if you listen to one podcast, you need to be listening to the Good Evening Alfred Hitchcock podcast, because it's great. Yeah. If you listen to two podcasts, you should also be listening to the Twilight Zone podcast by Tom Elliott, because it's fantastic. And I love that show, and I'm going to be trying to take some inspiration from him and the detail and the work that he puts into that show, because that show is an absolute masterpiece, second only to the Alfred Hitchcock podcast, Good Evening. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about in this intro episode here before we sign off for the day?
Is it possible to have a Hitchcock moment in life? Like, have you ever been walking somewhere and done something and you're like, whoa, man, that's totally out of this film or that film?
Well, there was that time that I mummified my mom and started to wear her clothes.
We don't judge.
Everyone does that, so. Yeah.
We don't judge. We're very... Anyway, yeah. I just chatting with Chris briefly the other day and getting to know each other a bit, and I sent him a photo, which I can post on our sites, which is my wife and I. We live in Regina, Saskatchewan, here in the northwest corner. So one day we take our dog for a run on the dirt road northwest of town. And it's a little north by northwest, yeah. And so we're out there last summer. Honest to God. And I'm taking photos, like there's, you know, canola growing and there's, you know, things running around. It's kind of fun. And I look over, my wife is walking up the road towards me, and there's a crop duster flying up on her shoulder. And it's a real crop duster. And she's walking, I'm like, oh my God, I took some photos. Like, that is so brilliant. And I just kind of love when those things happen. But with all the different Hitchcock festivals we've had a couple of bugs. And one year I was using a whole bunch of recordings from Turner Classic Movies, because they played like 40 films of Hitchcock's. And I was just record on the DVR. And when we came to have the party, one of the films was labeled incorrectly on the TV guide. So we showed the wrong film. And I kind of thought, maybe Hitch is messing with me a little bit, you know, maybe he doesn't, you know, approve of everything we're doing here. But I kind of, you know, I enjoy the, I don't know if you guys have any similar revelations to things that have happened in your real life that are Hitchcockian.
See, I can't think of anything in like, oh yeah, that reminds me of this. But I think, particularly with a couple of films, you know, and we've talked about them a lot, you know, but like Psycho and Rear Window, they tap into something that happens a lot now. So like, if you're, I bet everyone at least once has been in the shower and they've had the moment of, oh my God, what if someone's just like, what if someone's there? And then they get a flash of the Psycho scene in.
Yeah.
I mean, I the house I live in, my room basically faces out over the back of like other people's, you know, back gardens, backyards. And it's really funny because there's like a family across the way, and I definitely have had like a Rear Window moment just looking across, because I'm like, I can see into all these houses at night. Not in like in a creepy way, I hasten to add, I'm not there just like, yeah, I'm being really nosy. But then it's just whenever they're out like very late at night, I'm like, okay, that's weird. That's suspicious. And then I start getting a bit like, no, don't start getting paranoid about it, that sort of thing. But it's like that, it taps into like a deep-seated fear. So I think yeah. Most people have had like a Hitchcock moment.
Who hasn't taken a butcher knife and held it over their head and done the, you know, as a joke?
I did that to my wife the other day. She did not appreciate it.
Yeah. No sense of humor.
I just love that. She's just stood there. She's just like, really? Really?
I'm Psycho. She's like, yes, you are.
Yeah. She's like, oh, I'm scared. I'm terrified.
The only Hitchcock moment I had in my life was that time that I was climbing on I can't even...
Mount Rushmore?
Thank you. Mount Rushmore. Ruined my own joke. Ah. Terrible.
Start over.
My timing is clearly not... No. My timing is clearly not Hitchcockian. So, that's all. But, I think this is wonderful. I'm really looking forward to this. I'm really excited. I think this is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to finish up. We're going to tell you guys where you can find us. We want to hear from you guys. We want you to, you know, send us a message. Send us an email. Send us a tweet. We're on Twitter, @goodeveningpod. We've got an email, goodeveningpodcast@hotmail.com. We're on Facebook. Just search Good Evening, and it'll come up. I think we're the only one. You know, send us links, send us emails, send us messages. If you want to record a little MP3, email it to us and we'll throw it in an episode. You know, we want to hear some feedback from the listeners and we want to hear what you guys want us to talk about. And we're going to tell you at the end of every episode, we're going to tell you what's coming up next so that you can prepare yourselves by watching it. Right now, the plan for this podcast is it's going to be released once a month. We're all busy. We just want to do it as a hobby, and we want to be able to make sure that we take the time to do the research properly. We don't want to rush it out. We want to make a good quality product for you guys to listen to and enjoy. We're going to try and keep it under an hour all the time because we want to be respectful of everybody's time. And we want to make sure that we give ourselves some constraints so that we can make it tight, make it a good show, and make it concise for you guys. So you may not hear all of us all the time because we are in different time zones, believe it or not, I'm the one with the weird schedule because Tom works nights, which coincides nicely with Chris. So you might hear them every once in a while jumping in and doing something fun. But check us out in those places. If you want to find me myself, you can find me on Twitter @BrandonMatella. And I do a couple of Star Trek podcasts on the Trek FM network. One called Warp 5. I'm the co-host. It's our Star Trek Enterprise podcast. And one called Melodic Treks, which is all about the music of Star Trek. Chris, why don't you tell them where they can find you?
You can mainly find me on Twitter @Hire_Boy. I tend to do kind of guest appearances and, you know, kind of regular appearances on other people's podcasts as well. So I appear regularly on kind of Pick a Flick, Black Hole Cinema, on Smorgasbord, which is on Twitter @SmorgasbordPod. You won't be able to find me on Facebook, but if you do go to the Good Evening Alfred Hitchcock podcast Facebook page, you will find a frankly amazing selfie of me taken on Sunday when I only had 5 hours sleep next to a Hitchcock poster. So I like to think that's my gift to the internet. So
you're as beautiful as Tippi Hedren.
I was so tired. And I just went, oh yeah, I said I'd take it, and I just had to because I'm quite tall, so I had to reposition the poster and still crouch to get it in. Just please feel free to say hi on Twitter or ask any questions or anything. I'd be more than happy to answer.
Tom?
So I'm on Instagram as the Tom Caldwell, which is an amazing source for funny photos of my dog. And his favorite 90s hip hop group is Barky Bark. Anyway. Those are the jokes, folks. But follow us on Facebook if you don't mind, and on Twitter. But on Facebook, I'm in there if you ever wanted to click on my actual name. And we're going to try and keep the content interactive and fun. We'll throw up some trivia. We'll throw up some personal photos. We'll try not to throw up. And follow us and get involved with the show. Like Brandon Shea said, just throw us an MP3 file if you want to talk about something. You know, give us your favorite Hitchcock moment. Give us photos of you walking your dog, you know, north by northwest of the city. But yeah, get involved. I think this is going to be an amazing project. I really thank you guys for getting me involved, and I look forward to working with you.
I want to thank everybody very much for tuning in and listening to our first episode of Good Evening, the Alfred Hitchcock podcast. And just to let you know what the next couple of episodes are going to be. Because it's going to be a little bit before we get into some of the films. The next episode, I've actually got a bunch of hosts who sent me a little clip talking about their experiences with Hitchcock and their favorite films. We're going to do a little episode for you guys there. And the episode after that, we're going to be looking at the beginnings of Hitchcock, like a little bit of history on him. And I think the episode after that, so our fourth episode, is going to be, we'll be looking at the first three films of Hitchcock's that are lost. So we're not going to have a lot to say about those. They're films that we can't watch because they've been lost to the histories of time. But that's a fascinating story unto itself. But we want to try and cover everything and see what information we can find for you. So, from Regina, Saskatchewan, this is Brandon Shea Metella. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.